Hi, everybody. Welcome to our weekly study group. This is Corinne. And I was just saying before we started recording how grateful I am that we are all coming together this evening to strengthen these ideas, to share in this common language that we have in finding peace, remembering truth. I invite you to close your eyes if you're able and willing. Turning attention within. And just a reminder for anybody who does have background noise, if you wouldn't mind muting your line, hit the mute button on your phone or pressing star 6. Thank you so much. Just connecting with Holy Spirit within, in whatever way you do that, whether it's right now just through words, or if it's through a feeling or a sensation, connecting with Holy Spirit within you, which is your own right mind, the part of your mind that remembers the truth. This holy instant we give to you. Be you in charge, for we would follow you, certain that your direction gives us peace. If we need a word, a thought, or a tranquil open mind, these are the gifts the Holy Spirit gives. And we place Holy Spirit in charge tonight by our request. With willingness, with love and gratitude, taking a nice mindful breath in and out, and coming together to our perception of this time and this place. All righty. I'm excited for tonight's reading. It's the section called I Need Do Nothing. We're on page 440 of the Sparkle. In the original edition, it's chapter 18, part 8, I Need Do Nothing. And in FIP, it's chapter 18, part 7, I Need Do Nothing. I did notice when I was reading a few minor differences between Sparkle and FIP. So as I'm reading, if you notice a word is different, it's because our editing is slightly different. But for the most part, it's the same. So here we go. I need do nothing. You still have too much faith in the body as a source of strength. What plans do you make that do not involve its comfort or protection or enjoyment in some way? This makes it an end and not a means in your interpretation, and this always means you still find sin attractive. No one accepts atonement for himself who still accepts sin as his goal. You have thus not met your one responsibility. Atonement is not welcome by those who prefer pain and destruction. So, I'm going to pause here, and starting at the beginning of this paragraph, so this is saying we still have too much faith in the body as a source of strength, and when you read on, immediately that might not seem apparent, but what plans do you make that do not involve its comfort or protection or enjoyment in some way? That makes me laugh. This makes it an end and not a means in your interpretation, and this always means you still find sin attractive. In other words, this always means you're still making a mistake in treating the body as an end and not a means, because in the Holy Spirit's interpretation, the body is a means. It's a communication device. Our giving of the body to Holy Spirit, it now has the purpose of staying, the purpose of waking up, which means it's a means for us to awaken. But when we're still too focused on the body, we're making it into an end, as if this is the end-all, be-all. And I have to share real quick that I just saw a Facebook post, and I thought it was so helpful, by, oh gosh, now I'm going to forget his name, Jam, Hammer maybe? He's associated with the Way of Mastery. Perhaps he's the one who's channeled that material. I'm not exactly sure. And he wrote something and said something to the effect of, it was just a reminder that we are effects. We are effects. God is the only cause, and we are God's effects. And in thinking that we are these bodies, in thinking that this body is an end, we're making the body into, you know, a cause, and not allowing ourselves to be the effects of God. So it was just a really helpful reminder. It really hit me to just sort of step back again into that embodiment of remembering that we are effects of God, that God is through us and within, permeating absolutely everything, and all we need to do is let that be, just simply not put any blocks in the way of that, of love just being itself. So that's what came up for me in this paragraph. Anybody have any questions or comments or insights to share so far?
It seems to take a lot of willingness, you know, almost on a moment-to-moment basis.
You know, I'm glad you said that, Paula, because that's really been coming forward for me lately, is that it really is a moment-to-moment thing. It doesn't, for me in the beginning, I don't feel like it was moment-to-moment. I feel like, and because the Holy Spirit will undo all the consequences, you know, it's just always about turning to Holy Spirit. But as we get more and more aware of where the mind goes, you know, where we're pumping our belief, it does turn into a moment-to-moment practice. So I'm glad you said that. I agree.
Yeah. And it's that drifting that really is the problem, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because sometimes I'm very aware on a moment-to-moment basis, and then, well, somebody was talking about a storyline, then you get caught up in the story, and it's like,
right.
Wait a minute. Wait. Time out.
Yeah. Yep. Time out. Let's choose again. I'll read the next paragraph. You have made much progress and are really trying to make still more, but there is one thing you have never done. Not for one instant have you utterly forgotten the body. It has faded at times from your sight, but it has not yet completely disappeared. You are not asked to let this happen for more than an instant. Yet it is in this instant that the miracle of atonement happens. Afterwards, you will see the body again, but never quite the same. And every instant that you spend without awareness of it gives you a different view of it when you return. I just came across a card from, gosh, this must have been the Community Miracle Center conference in New York City. Paula, you were there. Carol, you were there. It's a card that Amy Torres gave out, and she had said something that it's so funny that this is coming up because I just glanced at this right before the call started. She said that her identification with the body, it's not that it's not there anymore, it's that it's thinning out, that the body is becoming thinner. Her awareness of it is becoming thinner. Her identification with it is becoming thinner. And I just loved that. And that, to me, sort of sums up this paragraph, that every moment that we choose to spend letting our identity be what it is, letting that awareness of what we really are flow forth, the body gets thinner and thinner and thinner. Our identification with it thins out to let more and more and more love flow. I love that. Let's keep reading. At no single instant does the body exist at all. It is always remembered or anticipated, but never experienced just now. Only its past and future make it seem real. Time controls it entirely, for sin is never present. In any single instant, the attraction of guilt would be experienced as pain and nothing else, and would be avoided. It has no attraction now. Its whole attraction is imaginary and therefore must be thought of in the past or the future. And there I will pause. So that's a big statement, right? At no single instant does the body exist at all. It is always remembered or anticipated, but never experienced just now. That's huge. That is huge, especially for folks like me who have a pattern, perhaps, of getting into, you know, like I've shared before, that sickness pattern was a big one for, you know, a chosen one of my ego to hook me. And to remember this, that at no single instant does the body exist at all. It does not have the power to end life. It does not have the power to, you know, that's what I want to say. It does not have the power to end life. In no single instant does it exist at all.
But can we experience life without it?
Yes. Yes, because this isn't life. This is our profound confusion. You know, we think this is life. We think that this is what it is, and yet we've taken, we're going to get to this later on in the reading. Let me see if I can just, actually, I don't think we're going to get to it tonight. Let me find it really quick. It's that part in the course. Here it is. We've taken a fragment of our mind. I'm just in the next section under the purpose of the body, which we'll be getting to probably next week. It's a tiny fragment of mind, and here it is. The body is a tiny fence around a little part of a glorious and complete idea. It draws a circle infinitely small around a little segment of heaven splintered from the whole, proclaiming that within it is your kingdom where God can enter not. That's where the body is. It's a tiny fence around a tiny, 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 little, tiny piece of God. And then that's when it goes on to equate this, that we're like the tiniest sunbeam, the smallest sunbeam to the sun, or like the faintest ripple on the surface of the ocean. And in our arrogance, we've declared that we are the sun or we are the ocean. So that's huge to touch on, even if we scratch it, you know, just with like a famous recognition that this actually isn't life, that we're waking up to what life really is, coming to see that this is, again, just this holographic dream that's coming from our sleeping mind. And as we touch our real life, which has never, you know, it's never ceased, as we touch that, that's where this awareness of the body becomes thinner. That's where, you know, we start walking around the world with peace on our hearts and, you know, reflections of that love coming back to us, because now we're tapping into who it is that we really are. So so Paula, your question, you said, was can you live without the body? Did you say that?
Can you experience life without the body?
Absolutely.
Here, I'm trying to think of what an my logical mind wants to analyze the hell out of that, but what
right.
would be an experience of that, Corinne?
It's the ever-present eternal love that flows through you that we get glimpses of, that, you know, in our special relationships, we're barely scratching it. We're opening to it more and more in our holy relationships. That love is life. That's eternal life. It's unchanging. It's forever. It's where our safety lies. That we manifest here as we learn that we are not these bodies.
Yeah.
So, Corinne, is time and body synonymous? Like, do they go together?
Yes.
I only said that because that line, it says time controls it entirely, for sin is never wholly in the present. I mean, my mind can't really understand that, but I'm understanding that time has something to do with that time and body are, that once we understand that there is no time, then the body also ceases to exist.
Our awareness of it.
Yeah,
you're absolutely right that that's like one of those mind benders, because we are like, you know, I had that one video blog where I talked about, like, you know, a two-dimensional worm that exists in a plane of paper is not going to understand, like, you know, a pen sticking through that paper. It's only going to see, like, a sliver of the pen, you know, the sliver that's in that plane. That's like this for us. We can't wrap our head around this. But time was, you know, it's almost like the body is used on behalf of the ego as a device for perceiving time and, you know, making that all real, but it's all just an idea. Time only exists. There's only now. We, because of our perception, perceive a past and a future, which isn't true. But I'm with you that that's like a mind bender. Total mind bender.
Ego seems to just, I kind of did a little exercise this morning that helped me, because I had an experience with a friend that just disturbed me, and I was just very disturbed by the whole thing. So I thought, well, let me sit down and just think about this, or just start writing this out. And what I realized is the ego is the thing that wants her to be guilty of something. In truth, I don't. And I just kept going through that, all of the different things that were bothering me. The ego dislikes her behavior. In truth, I don't. So I am not a body. I am not the ego. In truth, I'm just pure love. That's the truth about all of us who experience life in this body. So it was very cool, because within a very short time, I realized how ridiculous the ego is, and how I, you know, and how I don't have to stay attached to that, and I don't have to dwell in that. And I can move about the world, you know, in a more peaceful way. And actually, if there's only one of us here, the peace that I experience is beneficial to everyone in the body.
Yes.
So it was kind of interesting, and it really helped me to just let it all go. I had a great day.
That's,
you know,
awesome.
Just
That's
let it all go.
I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, I just want to go back for a second. When I said that this isn't life, I'm wondering if that brought up anything in anybody, because to me, that's comforting. Because what the ego's eyes perceive here, you know, is death, is sickness. But as we learn a new perception through Holy Spirit, what gets reflected back to us, what we start to see, is the love, the truth that we're tapping into. That this is where I really loved that movie Lucy. I think I brought this up before, where she has the whole plot of the movie is basically that, like, her awareness just keeps expanding, and it's drug induced, so it's not a great parallel. But with, you know, thinking of that mind expansion, that's to me what's happening, is that as we allow Holy Spirit to be our eyes, to be our ears, as we let that part of our mind, which hasn't forgotten the truth, be the one in the driver's seat, what is reflected back to us, you know, is more and more love, and our awareness opens and opens and opens until, again, that's where we start perceiving the real world, as the Course talks about. And even from that, you know, as we're ready for it, we keep opening and opening and opening up to awareness of heaven. And in that process, we see more and more that this is just like cardboard cutouts, again, that holographic experience. So if anybody, I just wanted to bring that up again, because if that brought up any fear in anybody, just look at that fear with Holy Spirit, because it's only the ego being like, what?
You know, Corinne, I think it's interesting. It did bring up some fear for me, despite the fact that if I'm really honest with myself, like, this is not life. You know, the momentary pleasures are not worth all the pain that we see, right? Uh-huh. But then you talked about, but we become one with what everything that is. So then the identity of who I am would no longer exist. And that thought is only scary because I don't understand it, is because of what you were talking about, that swarm being in one dimension and showing a pen, and that wouldn't know, right? So it was like, okay, I'm so glad you gave that example, because then I was like, well, you can't expect this mind that you have right now to wrap its head around what this book is saying in terms of, or what Corinne was saying in terms of, this is not life. And so the fear is based on what my ego is saying. So then I got comfort in that. So, yeah, I had a momentary, fear that came up. But then the example that you gave really helped me kind of let it go.
I'm so glad. And, Homaira, thank you so much for your honesty, because that honesty is what is so important in our healing, in our waking up. Because as we catch those fears and are honest about them and say, look, you know, Holy Spirit, willing to look at this with you, that's how we undo the layers of fear. That's literally by, catching them, by not trying to just, dismiss them or self-correct them. So thank you for your honesty.
Mm-hmm.
And, it also, me too, I've touched that, oh, my gosh, being, in oneness and, losing this identity, that's
mm-hmm.
scary sounding. Mm-hmm. But, like you're saying, we can't wrap our mind around that here. And I've heard this before, and then I think I shared with you all that not that long ago I had a session with John Mark Stroud, and this came up, and he brought this same example up, that it's as if you think about it as a facet of a diamond, that we are each individual facets on this, oneness collective diamond, and if you look out, it's like that sense that you are a self, and you look in and you are a sense of the whole. So it's like both, but not in a way that we can possibly intellectually understand here. So we don't, lose a sense of being, which is important to keep in mind. So that diamond analogy has always been really helpful for me. So
thank you.
Yes, is that DJ?
Yes, it is.
Hi.
What came up for me when somebody said, is it possible, I think it was Paula, said, is it possible to experience life without the body? And what came up for me was, the experience of communication not stopping because there seems to be a lack of body by the body's eyes standard, like channeling, when someone seems to have passed on and yet there's still a means of communicating, like the way that Paula was shown a rainbow after her kitty passed. Those types of experiences, in angel work, being able to receive messages from spirit and pass those messages on, being able to still have a relationship with the spiritual essence of the soul that took on the role of my father on the earth plane. But, something came up the other day where I just sat in stillness and just was really, really still. And I asked to hear something that I needed to know. And because it came up recently, that it was the anniversary of my dad's passing. And so I was just thinking about him one night before I went to sleep. And I just said in my mind, you know, Dad, what do you want me to know? And what came through was just, you have nothing to feel guilty about. Honestly, it was that quickly. You have nothing to feel guilty about. And so I sat and meditated with that, and it was just like such a release, just like such that nothing has occurred. And that's really what A Course in Miracles is talking about, because if that communication could go away, that means that, you know, the body is real and all of that stuff is real. But because nothing that is impermanent exists, that also means that the body doesn't exist. And that's always what has helped me on an experiential level and understand what the Course is talking about.
Awesome.
So,
that was so helpful.
Yeah, and it's something that you've talked about many times, Corinne, is that we have to be where we're at with these things. It's so, if what I'm describing sounds, you know, totally out there to somebody, that's okay. You have to be where you're at with it. But it is experiential, working with spirit and allowing that in. But I have a very, very deepened sense now that, you know, nothing that is there, everything that is actually real is eternal. So nothing that we think that we see with the body's eye is the truth.
Beautiful. I love that. I love it. I love it. Super helpful. Thank you so much, DJ, for adding that.
Thank you.
All righty. Anybody else, or shall we keep reading? We'll keep reading. I think we're at the paragraph where it begins, it is impossible to accept the whole instant, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, great. I occasionally do hear, it sounds like some car noises in the background, so if anybody has some background noise, if you wouldn't mind just muting with Star Six or your mute button. Awesome. Thank you. Alrighty. It is impossible to accept the holy instant without reservation unless, just for an instant, you are willing to see no past or future. You cannot prepare for it without placing it in the future. Release is given you the instant you desire it. Many have spent a lifetime in preparation and have indeed achieved their instance of success. This course does not attempt to teach more than they learned in time, but it does aim at saving time. You are attempting to follow a very long road to the goal you have accepted. It is extremely difficult to reach atonement by fighting against sin, or again, fighting against mistakes. Nor is a lifetime of contemplation and long periods of meditation aimed at detachment from the body necessary. All such attempts will ultimately succeed because of their purpose. Yet the means are tedious and very time-consuming, for all of them look to the future for release from a present state of unworthiness and inadequacy. I may have shared this on another call, I don't quite remember, but it had dawned on me, so going back to this very first sentence, it's impossible to accept the holy instant without reservation unless, just for an instant, you are willing to see no past or future. I have no problem being willing to see no past, but I touched on fear surrounding seeing no future, because if I, the fear thought, and again, this is just the ego, the fear thought was, well, if I can't see a future, if I'm willing to let go, you know, of the future, like, am I just going to die? This is all ego. But that was a necessary fear to let it come up to the surface, to look at it with Holy Spirit, to see. Yet, you know, again, there's another scrap of fear. There's another, you know, little area that was actually getting in my way of my willingness to, you know, see past the future. So trying that idea on, are you willing to see no past? Are you willing to see no future? And I love the next sentence, how it says you can't prepare for the holy instant without automatically placing the holy instant in the future. So just thinking that we have to prepare ourselves for it is saying that it's going to happen later. Whereas as we're learning through the course, the holy instant is now. It's 100% now. It's dropping, you know, all of our ideas. It's that suspension of all of our judgments, our beliefs, concerns about the body. It's that suspension of those things to just open up to the pure present and that love that is there in the present. And that's when we, you know, experience those holy instants. So it goes on to say, release is given you the instant you desire it. If you think about it, release is given you the instant you desire it. On the surface, we might immediately think, of course I want release. Of course I do. But as perhaps you've already seen, even in just tonight's phone call where I highlighted, you know, this that sentence or that idea that this isn't life, when we can notice those fear spikes, you know, when we notice those little areas that we have of fear, those are actually all, you know, reasons that part of our mind, the ego part of the mind, is hanging on to because it doesn't want release, because it doesn't want us to stop believing in it. And there's no struggle in that, again, this is all about just giving all of these scraps of fear to Holy Spirit, you know, being willing to see them differently, because we learn, or I should say, our desire to, you know, still pump belief into the ego, that just sort of falls away. It falls away. There's no struggle. As it says earlier, we can't, where did it say, you can't fight against sin and still, it said something about that. I don't know where it went, but it said something to the effect of, like, you know, you can't struggle against something and expect, oh, it's in this very paragraph, it's later on. It says it's extremely difficult to reach atonement by fighting against sin. Atonement, again, is the undoing of fear, and by, you know, like, fighting with the ego, it makes it hard to experience that atonement. Instead, how the Course says, we're not asked to master our fears. It's about the mastery of love. And all that is our willingness. All that is our commitment to turning to the voice of love within instead of the voice of fear.
Corinne, what does the fighting against ego look like? What does that mean, fighting?
Oh, gosh.
Against the ego.
We should be able to come up with countless examples of that. Anybody have an example of, you know, fighting with the ego? That's like, I shouldn't be feeling the way that I'm feeling right now, or I should be further along in the course that I am, or I should be enlightened
I see.
You know,
it's the ego voice masquerading as a spiritual, like, got it.
Definitely one example, and we can come up with countless others. It's really, fighting against the ego is really saying that it's real and that there's this thing we have to overcome rather than just focusing on love. That quote that I referenced, attempting the mastery of fear is useless because it asserts the power of fear by the very assumption that it need be mastered. The true resolution rests on mastery through love. The true resolution rests on mastery through love. I probably didn't recite that perfectly, but I've always gotten a lot of comfort out of that quote because clearly it's saying you don't have to master your fears. It's just
Can you say it one more time?
I cannot. Let me look it up real quick. I will tell you exactly where it is. Mastery of love. Attempting. Here, I'll say it again. I found it. This is, okay, I have only at the moment the Foundation for Inner Peace reference, which is Chapter 2, Part 7. paragraph mm-hmm. number 4, and I can give the other references if anybody wants it later. But it says, any attempt to resolve the error through attempting the mastery of fear is useless. So attempting the mastery of fear is useless. In fact, it asserts the power of fear by the very assumption that it need be mastered.
Mm-hmm.
The true resolution rests entirely on mastery through love. So how beautiful,
beautiful
is that?
That's
I love
beautiful.
That. I love that quote. Let's keep reading. Your way will be different, not in purpose, but in means. A holy relationship is a means of saving time. One instant spent together restores the universe to both of you. You are prepared. Now you need but to remember you need do nothing. It would be far more profitable now merely to concentrate on this than to consider what you should do. When peace comes at last to those who wrestle with temptation and fight against the giving in to sin, when the light comes at last into the mind given to contemplation, or when the goal is finally achieved by anyone, it always comes with just one happy realization. I need do nothing. I'm going to read the next paragraph too. Here is the ultimate release which everyone will one day find in his own way at his own time. We do not need this time. Time has been saved for you because you are together. This is the special means this course is using to save you time. You are not making use of the course if you insist on using means which have served others well, neglecting what was made for you. Save time for me by only this one preparation and practice doing nothing else. I need you nothing is a statement of allegiance, a truly undivided loyalty. Believe it for just one instant and you will accomplish more than is given to a century of contemplation or of struggle against temptation. So here is this phrase, I need do nothing. And I love how it says that everyone is going to come to this in his own time and her own way, this recognition of I need do nothing. And that's referring to, you know, we need do, there's, I've shared this a few different ways. We need do no thing apart from spirit. Or we need another way of thinking about this perhaps a little bit more deeply is that we need do nothing to interfere with truth. We need do nothing to interfere with love. Reality is unchanged despite these, you know, crazy dreams that we're having. So we need do nothing to interfere with love. It's all just happening. I'll just say, too, and then I want to pause, and I would love to hear from you all, just how this is emphasizing the saving of time, that this particular path of the course is meant to save time, to work faster. As it said in the previous paragraph that we had read before, we don't need long, you know, lifetimes of contemplation and long periods of meditation aimed at detachment from the body. This course is about saving us time, which is beautiful. So I want to pause here and see what you have to add. Deidre.
I just really love that last sentence that you read about preparation, about meditation and thinking we have to do all these things. And
right. And
really what that says to me is we already have it because we are it.
Mm-hmm.
And we just sometimes forget. But we don't need any special preparation. We don't need any special thing. We just need to invite that part of us that has never left to be what comes through.
Yeah. I love how you said that, Deidre. We already have it because we are it. It's there's no seeking needed, no seeking necessary.
Yeah.
I love that.
That makes me, hello, can y'all hear me?
Hi, yes.
Hello. Hey, that makes me think of a quote I read on Facebook today, and it said, it was saying something about, you don't go, when you are love, like essentially we are love, so we don't have to go out and find it. And when we realize it, that love will just, when you are love, you are never without it. And so as a result of recognizing that and living in that space of understanding and having that deep knowingness that you are love, then you're going to attract more of that.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
what came to my mind.
Well said. Well said. When we know that, we attract more of it. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
That's so true. And that's, you said that, Elisheva, so simply and clearly, whereas in, coursey terms, that's how we're projecting this. And as we, are looking to love, we start having that reflection back to us. So I like just how easily you said that. That was beautiful. I think we're going to finish this section tonight.
Can I say something? Oh, go ahead.
Yes, please. Go for it.
I just want to say something else really quick. We were just, you read the part about the meditating and being Deirdre just asked what she added. And I had an experience recently where I was dating this guy, and he had kind of been at me for quite a few years, and I finally decided, hey, you know what? When he popped back up, I'm in a better place. I'm going to give him a chance. So we were just spending time together. We had a wonderful time, just really hitting it off. And then all of a sudden, I just didn't hear from him. And I was just so hurt and frustrated and just like, oh, really in my feelings about it because I'm so confused. I've never had anything happen like this, particularly when everything was going well, in my mind anyway. So anyway, long story short, I started saying, okay, I've got to make sure I feel better. I can't let my heart be broken. And so, like, I'm meditating, and I'm working out, and I'm journaling, and, like, I'm talking to people, and I'm doing all this stuff, trying to, like, force myself into this place of happiness. And then I just realized, like, and in my mind, I'm like, this is a good thing. I'm patting myself on the back. You're not, crumbling into pieces. And then I realized, you know what? I'm resisting. And when I just let go and just let myself just feel the pain, like the deep, excruciating pain and embarrassment and all the other emotions that came to me, I suddenly felt more peace. And it, without, like I said, I've been just in crazy mode trying to, make myself happy. And so, yeah, just surrendering, and there's that word, surrendering to the pain and the feeling. And suddenly, gradually, really, within a couple of days, I feel a level of peace and joy that I don't typically experience so soon after a disappointment with a guy, but I am, and it feels great. And it's not to say I don't have my feelings, because I'm still, hurt about it, but just, also you've mentioned with this part saying, everything doesn't have to take a long time, and I just go into rendering to this, and I'm sitting here like, oh, wow. When you discover and you experience that miracle, I still find myself being like, oh, wait, that's a miracle, and I get, really excited. This is what the Course is talking about. It works. So, that was interesting, to say the least.
Oh, wow. What a beautiful example, though, of letting yourself feel your feelings and, you know, letting yourself go through them rather than, you know, trying to take that, like, let your take like a bypass over them. So that's so powerful that once you surrendered to those feelings that, you know, you were really able to open up to that, that level of peace and joy, you said. That's
mm-hmm.
awesome.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you, Alicia, for sharing that. So helpful. Oh, okay, let's, we have two more paragraphs. To do anything involves the body. And if you recognize you need do nothing, you have withdrawn the body's value from your mind. Here is the quick and open door through which you slip past centuries of effort and escape from time. This is the way in which sin loses all attraction right now. For here is time denied and past and future gone. Who need do nothing has no need for time. To do nothing is to rest and make a place within you where the activity of the body ceases to demand attention. I'm just going to pause because I'm actually hearing some. It's like a staticky background. Okay, it just stopped. Thank you. If anybody just put your line on mute. We have these phone noises that just happen. I'm going to start. You know what? We have a few minutes. I'm just going to reread the from the beginning of the paragraph. To do anything involves the body. And if you recognize you need do nothing, you have withdrawn the body's value from your mind. Here's the quick and open door through which you slip past centuries of effort and escape from time. This is the way in which sin loses all attraction right now. For here is time denied and past and future gone. Who need do nothing has no need for time. To do nothing is to rest and make a place within you where the activity of the body ceases to demand attention. Into this place the Holy Spirit comes and there abides. He will remain when you forget and the body's activities return to occupy your conscious mind. Yet there will always be this place of rest to which you can return, and you will be more aware of this quiet center of the storm than all its raging activity. This quiet center in which you do nothing will remain with you, giving you rest in the midst of every busy doing on which you are sent. For from this center, you will be directed how to use the body sinlessly. It is this center from which the body is absent that will keep it so in your awareness of it. So really, we need do nothing except be in tune with this place of rest, be in tune with Holy Spirit, be in tune with love, however you want to say it. And it's saying that from that center, from that place of rest, you will be directed how to use the body sinlessly. How beautiful is that? So when we get caught up, you know, in the thinking mind of, oh, I got to do this, oh, I got to do that, I know for me, I've experienced many times getting caught in there, for instance, with my big, long to-do list, like, got to get this done, got to get that done. And when I pause and drop into this quiet center, even if it's just for a few minutes, and then begin doing what I have to do from this different place, it's as if, again, how the Course is saying we save time, it's as if everything just flows and becomes effortless and so easy. So this is a really important point, that it's from that center that we would be directed. So that's, again, just so comforting.
Can I just share something on that too?
Please.
Because I've gotten caught in that space where you're thinking, the mind is thinking, oh, I have to do something so many times. And having the practice of giving it over to Spirit when you notice it coming up has really shown me several different times that if you're meant to do something on the level of form, like Corinne, you're talking about your to-do list, it will keep repeating until you do what you need to do. I'll give you an example. I moved, I changed physical addresses last year in September. I'm staying with family right now while I go to school. And there were some issues that came up with changing my address. So my credit card expired during this time, and I really wasn't paying attention to the date on the card. So what happened was the credit card company sent my replacement credit card to the old address, not the address where I'm living currently. And I had forgotten that the card was going to expire until a few nights ago. I was sitting in my bed and the card just popped in my mind. And it was like, oh yeah, that's going to expire soon. And usually the credit card would have sent me a replacement by now. Well, I got this instant, like, intuitive download or whatever you want to call it, that the card had been sent to my old address. And that is exactly what happened. So I called the credit card company and they're like, oh, no problem. We'll send you another one and we'll just courier it to your new address. It'll take 2 days. So, like, meanwhile, the old mind frame where I know that I've been in this space before, where you're worrying and fretting and feeling doubtful and, oh my God, I should have done this thing and I didn't do it and blah, 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 you know, that whole thing. And nothing is messed up. I'm going to get the new card and I didn't have to do anything except, you know, tune into that space that was quiet, realize what needed to be done, take action, and it's all fallen together. So
we love it.
We don't have to ever be in that space of like, I need to do this. I need to do this. You know, just remember to just find that stillness, allow that stillness. So
you have the best examples, Deidre. Thank you.
I have a pretty good example of that sort of thing too. My daughter's had a real bad problem this week with the sewer system at their house. They couldn't use the toilet. They couldn't use the washing machine. The plumbers were coming and telling them it was going to cost them $10,000 to dig up the street, and they'd have to dig up the street. They'd have to do all of this stuff. And I work with my daughter, so every day she was coming in so upset. And I said to her, you know, listen, all you need is a miracle here. And she's become very in tune to this. I mean, she did, at one time she would just blow me off with that, you know. But I said, you need one. And I'm telling you, this thing was taken care of. They got it was just miraculous. It cost them not one penny. The whole thing was taken care of. It was... And it was just miraculous. It really was. And that's the first thing she said to me when it all came to pass. I got a miracle. And, you know, it's just that letting go, doing nothing, just letting go and trusting that that's when the shifts come.
You know, this is... To make a link back to something that I said a week or two ago, that, you know, going right or going left, do I do this or do I do that? It's not about that. It's about going in that vertical direction, which, Deidre, you just called an intuitive download, like, you know, we're calling getting still, whatever we want to say. It's being in that space of stillness to receive. And that's like that vertical drop in. So I just got that image come forward because I had said something like that. And we're all talking about the exact same thing. I love it.
And it's totally vertical. It's totally like you're, because you're in that space of receiving from the higher self.
Yep.
So can I ask a question really quick? I know we're done almost, just based on what you guys and Deidre was saying. So let's say like practical application of what you guys are saying. So to just get in touch with my higher self through the whatever, getting quiet, getting silent, and whatever that needs to be downloaded will be downloaded. So in terms, let's say I have, I don't know, a presentation to do, for example, just an example. Is it that I don't have to prepare, I don't have to do my part, and then God will just give me, like it will just be downloaded? Or what does that exactly mean, I don't need to do nothing? I mean, I've always believed that I have to do my part and then God does his, but, you know, so that's, and I know my beliefs are obviously erroneous. I wouldn't be in this group if I was, so I'm just curious.
All of our beliefs are erroneous. So that's why we're all here. That's a great question, Homaira, and very, very practical. And this is where I'm curious to hear how other people would put this. Personally, for me, I'm learning how to be able to show up for a presentation and to let Spirit speak through me. I'm not there yet. I still need some planning, some jotting down of an outline, you know, whatever it is. So I'm allowing myself to be where I'm at, which is that I still need some preparation while I'm learning how to just let it, you know, let the words flow through me. So the I need do nothing almost, I feel like, is also like, you know, in phases in a sense, where it's not just like, okay, I'm just going to, you know, now do absolutely nothing and just wait. It's that we do what we feel inclined to do, but now we're doing it with Holy Spirit. And, you know, instead of just the ego. So we're doing it with the awareness of Holy Spirit instead of just ego. And that also, to me, sort of grows into this being able to just drop into the silence and, you know, receive in that moment. So I don't know if I'm answering that clearly.
No, that's, yeah. Yes,
that's
yes,
what comes forward
are.
For me. Does anybody have anything they want to add to that? If you might say it differently.
I would just say for me, like if I feel that I need to make any type of preparation for like a presentation or something, I think you mentioned, I sit with Spirit with those preparations.
Yes, yeah.
That's a big piece for me, is that like if I need to fill out paperwork or I need to make a point form list, I'm inviting Spirit into those preparations with, you know, into that whole process. And then as I go, I'm trusting the guidance that I receive. So it's not just exactly like Corinne said, it's not that I sit and do nothing and wait. If I feel inspired to take an action, like do research online as part of my presentation, then I take that action step. But I do that with Spirit as well. So everything that you're quote unquote doing, you're not doing by yourself.
Perfect.
Very helpful. Thank you so much.
And that's where that ties into how I've shared before, and I did a video blog on this, I need do no thing apart from Spirit. And that's exactly, Deidre, that's exactly what Deidre is saying, is that we don't need to do anything now without Spirit. Invite Spirit into those preparations. I love how you said that. That's perfect.
And there's one other piece, if I might add really quickly, Corinne, is that Spirit has been teaching me as I go along that I don't need to worry about forgetting something, because if it seems like I'm forgetting something, I'll get reminders. Like I'll get repetitive feelings that I should do this, or I should contact this person, or I should take this action, and it'll be gentle. It won't be like, oh my God, like you didn't do that. It'll be like, you know, like maybe you should reach out to this person. Maybe doing some research in this area would be very beneficial. Or maybe this would add value to this situation. It's very gentle and very, very supportive.
And that just comes like in a form of intuition.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
So if that is new to you, what I might suggest is just saying, Spirit, I invite you into whatever it is that you're doing. So if it's a presentation, I invite you in to my presentation. Please guide me to whatever it is that will be most helpful, most loving, and you know, whatever it is that needs to be part of this presentation. Or any words that you want to use. They don't have to be the words that I've used. It can be
totally
your words, you know, totally your
the essence is that. That's
yeah.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yay.
Oh, beautiful.
The ego kind of gets in there and says, well, you have to be as articulate as Deidre. You know, you've got to do it. No, you've got to do it right. You got to do it right. Do it right. You know, it's nuts. Sometimes just simply the word help is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right.
Well, thank you, Pam.
Oh, wow.
Thank you all.
Thank you. Hi, Carla.
Hey. Just in the background of, you know, I won't keep you know, but I sure wish that this call was more than an hour on Sundays, I swear.
Oh, well.
Have a great week.
Have a great week, everybody. Big group hug. I love you all. I'm grateful for you all, and thank you for sharing your lights. Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Love you all. Good night.
Love you. Bye-bye.
Bye.